I'm sure there's going to be a lot of points and ideas that will come from her presentation today. So I'd like to welcome Catherine.
Hi, everyone. I really wanted to share with you some of our early work, taking a completely different perspective on how each of us can help to create dementia-friendly communities where we live and where we work. Given that we've got this extensive research programme about dementia, our trustees made a commitment that they wanted the Joseph Rowntree Foundation, which is the social policy and research organisation, and the Housing Trust, which delivers our care and housing services, both to become dementia-friendly organisations, which is a really interesting concept. So I was recruited to this post, a community development manager's post in the Ageing Society team, partly to do this piece of work about, okay, let's become a dementia-friendly organisation. Okay, so what does that mean, I ask on my first day at work. Oh, well, we don't know about that. Oh, okay. Oh, that's your job. You need to go out there and find out what being a dementia-friendly organisation means and then do it. Oh, okay, right. I did kind of know about that, having applied for the job. But it was really given over as, here we go, we don't know about this. Let's go and find out about it. And I'm really grateful, actually, that the foundation had the took the brave approach to employ a community development person to do that work rather than a more... I don't come from a research background. I am a community development worker. That's quite a brave decision to make. Thinking about Rachel's point earlier about power and control, a community development approach really is about handing over power and control. And so I'll talk you through our experiences of that. So I'll just share with you the process that we went through at the Foundation and Housing Trust. So we agreed that we wanted to become an organisation that recognises and addresses the impact of dementia on all of us. And by all of us, we were thinking about us as staff in the organisation. We were thinking about the family members of staff in the organisation, and we were thinking about the people who live with us and who we care for. So I did exactly what I've just done with you en masse. We've got 750 staff approximately working across 20 plus sites over the north of England, mostly in Yorkshire, a bit further north. And so we took our Conversations About Dementia roadshow out last autumn. We visited 17 of these sites and reached over 250 staff in a face-to-face conversation about dementia. It was not training. It was not seeking to catch people out about what they didn't know. It was a really open, just come and talk to us. You know, I brought in somebody who is a dementia expert to come along to all the roadshows with me, anticipating that once you start asking questions about dementia, people will share their personal experiences, and we recognise that often that can be quite difficult. So there was somebody there who could answer practical and more medical questions about their individuals themselves or their family members. The roadshow itself provided some very basic myth-busting and awareness-raising around dementia. What is dementia? You know, the number of our staff who thankfully felt free enough to say, well, I don't even know what it is. Can you explain what dementia is? And that has, I'm really pleased to say, that's really seemed to have made a difference in enabling people to talk in their own workplaces and just use the D word, you know, which is quite significant itself, to be able to freely talk about dementia. So we actually went out and asked our staff a set of questions on postcards so that people could fill them in informally and confidentially and put them in a postbox, or we could have a long free-flowing discussion, which happened a lot, more than I expected. So we asked people to think about three dimensions of our organisation. We asked them to think about how dementia-friendly are we in our service provision. You know, the majority of our services are to older people, but how dementia-friendly are they? And many staff in several locations came back and said things like, well, we know that the building that we're working in is really not very dementia friendly, and we'd like to do this, this and this to change it or improve that. We asked staff about their informal caring responsibilities. So when they, you know, when they shut the office door, leave, take the pinny off and go home from the care home, are they then going home to care for somebody who's a family member, neighbour, friend with dementia? We didn't know the answer to that question before we went out and asked our staff on these roadshows. And then lastly, and this was really interesting for me, is that this was the bit that people found most difficult to think about. We asked people, so if and when you develop symptoms of dementia and you're at work, what would you like us as your employer to do for you? What would you want from us? And it was really interesting that people found it very, very difficult to think, oh, well, me have dementia. Oh, that's an interesting concept. Oh, me have dementia whilst I'm working. It was really, really beyond people's imagination that you could work and have dementia. And that as an employer, we would support you, which was really what we were saying underneath it all, is that we want to ensure that people who develop symptoms of dementia and are get an early diagnosis are supported to work, if they choose to, carry on working for as long as they want to. It was also really surprising to me that, as Eilish was saying earlier, there's a real thirst for the discussion. People were so interested. I was surprised that we didn't have to bribe people with cake as much as I thought. They just turned up to come and talk to us anyway because they wanted to come and find out about it. But thinking about taking the community development approach also, when I said earlier that it's quite a brave approach to take, I found that, of course, as soon as you go into a workplace and ask people how they feel about their workplace in any way, you get all sorts of other information that you weren't expecting. And it's really like holding a mirror up to the organisation, and adopting a community development approach in this sort of way needs fairly senior commitment in the organisation and a willingness to hear any messages that come back, not just messages about things that we're asking. And I've been very well supported in that by my line manager and director, thankfully. Another surprising finding for us from this process was the number of staff who actually cared for multiple people with dementia at home. There was more than a handful of people who were caring for two or more relatives with dementia, which was a surprise to me. So once we'd asked people how dementia-friendly they thought we were already and what we could do to become more dementia-friendly, we had an absolutely overwhelming list of ideas, which was great. But how do you start? How do you get going? So taking a community development approach, we gathered together as many staff as were able to make it into a one big meeting in one of our community centres and asked them to decide. They prioritised which of the projects they thought would really have an impact in becoming a more dementia-friendly organisation and which ones they cared about. So this picture shows one of the surprising elements of the process for me. This is our Parks and Gardens team who volunteered and were really enthusiastic and committed about working out which of our HR policies needed refining and tweaking and developing, and what more could we do from a HR perspective. Really surprising things come out when you adopt a community development approach. And the people in this photograph are all now involved in leading dementia-friendly projects across the organisation. We found also when we asked staff about what we could do, they frequently responded with, well, of course, we need more money and we need more staff and we need more time. And I don't have the capacity to grant any of those wishes. So it's really about encouraging staff to think about what could we do differently with what we've already got. This is not a very good photograph, but this is the map that I keep on the wall above my desk of all of the projects that are mushrooming, blossoming, growing, multiplying across the organisation now that dementia has become something that people has a bit more status and it's visible in the organisation. People are now coming to me just off their own bats and saying, I've got this great idea for, can we do this? Which is absolutely fantastic. But as I said, taking a community development approach, I can't do all of these things. It's down to staff to actually make these things happen. So with the commitment of managers to release people and to give people some time to do these things, individual staff members right across the organisation are now leading their own projects. If there was no volunteer to lead a project, the project hasn't started. It's as simple as that. You know, I can't make all these things happen. And we really wanted to embed the culture change at every level of the organisation. So we've now got 21 projects at different stages of development right across the organisation. One of our care homes is redesigning its rose garden outside so that it's more dementia friendly. Our colleagues in the housing neighbourhoods and housing management team are looking at how they collect data about our tenants and residents and introducing new customer profiles on their housing database. Let's move on to this example. This is a specific example. Not everybody is fortunate enough to have their own Grade 2 listed community centre. We are in our garden village at New Earswick. The original building dates from the 1920s, Grade 2 listed, and it had a significant backlog of repairs and maintenance. So we've just undertaken a first stage refurbishment of the folk hall. The new folk hall manager really grasped the nettle in terms of thinking about becoming dementia friendly. We invited colleagues from the University of Stirling in Scotland who have a specialist interest in the built environment. They came and did an audit of the entire building for us, a walk around, taking lots of photographs, looking at all the real detail of the building, and did a recommended report for how we could incorporate dementia friendly design principles in the basic refurbishment that we were going to do anyway. A great opportunity. We then added to that by bringing together a group of people with dementia who already use the folk hall, which is a brilliant coincidence. You know, singing for the brain meets in the folk hall. So we had a group of people who already used it, who already knew it, and actually who already cared very passionately about the folk hall. It's well known in York, partly for the bop for a bob, which used to happen back in the 50s, apparently. And so there are many people who are now older, now getting dementia, who care very passionately about the folk hall, which is a great resource. So we brought this group of people together and they did their own walk around with us of the folk hall and told us their priorities, what made a difference for us, what made it difficult to use as a building. And those comments and feedback have been incorporated by our development manager into his much longer lasting plan for the redevelopment of the folk hall. And I've written that, as well as giving you a pretty picture. So some of the things that we've done, there will be new signage throughout the folk hall, enabling people to find their way around. We've completely changed the paint colours. It was quite drab, and now it's a light, very calm, fresh green that's been very well received by our Singing for the Brain group, which is good. We've paid attention to floor surfaces, removing reflective surfaces, removing threshold strips between rooms, and most importantly, as Rachel said earlier, done some introductory training for our customer service staff, because it doesn't matter how dementia friendly your building is. If you've got friendly people on the front desk, that is what's going to make a difference. So that's an example of how we're trying to apply the feedback from in our services about how we could become more dementia friendly. In terms of providing support to informal carers, it was Dementia Awareness Week in England a couple of weeks ago, and a team of staff, again led by Parks and Gardens, decided that it was really important that all staff across the organisation had access to information about dementia. Very simple information about being a carer, about your rights and entitlements as a carer, about being a person with dementia. And so they pulled all of that together in a dementia information box, distributed one of those to each of the sites across the foundation. They're now in staff canteens, restrooms, reception areas, so that anybody, any member of staff has got easy access to information about dementia. We also printed a series of posters, which I'd posted lots of copies, but they haven't arrived, unfortunately. Myth-busting posters that went up in Dementia Awareness Week to a company that also tell people where their information box is about dementia. And these are just very simple 5 key facts about dementia. Our human resources team are on to creating a new carers policy that brings together all of the entitlements and support for carers in one place, so it's easy to find and use. We already, as an organisation, have a disability friends network, which is like an informal buddying network within the organisation, and we have incorporated dementia into their concept of disability, particularly thinking about the social model of disability. We're talking about dementia openly, providing role models, partly through the films that we've been producing, but also speaking openly about dementia. My dad had early onset dementia. He got that when he was 53. And I think just, you know, myself talking about it has meant that other members of staff have come to me and said, and shared their difficult experiences. And the final thing, we're also fortunate enough to have an employee assistance programme that people can access counselling, they can access advice, particularly about elder care. And so ensuring that people are aware of that resource that's available to them also. In terms of supporting employees, the three things so far have been about the myth-busting poster campaign we did in Dementia Awareness Week, raising awareness of early onset dementia, because of course what we found on the roadshows was when you introduce the term dementia, people seem to jump immediately to a visual image of an older person in a nightie, in a care home, or, you know, wandering down the street not knowing where they were going or what their name was, and had no concept that there is early onset dementia that affects young people, and that there are early stages of dementia where people can still be very active and involved. So just raising awareness of that, of those concepts, has been an important part of what we've been doing. And then finally, we're still exploring what employees want from JRF and JRHT as an employer, and I think that's going to be a much longer running process that's going to take some time. For me, I've had an absolutely great time involving people with dementia directly in this work. As I say on the slide, you know, it is so much fun. This is, on the right-hand side, is the group of people at the Folk Hall all having lunch after our walk round of the Folk Hall, and making social connections. You know, two of these couples had not met before, and the guys, both of whom had dementia, got on really well, got on like a house on fire, and had a really great time, not just doing the walk around and feeling like they, you know, were making a contribution, but actually having that sense of connection with somebody else in a similar situation. And the left-hand side is, we also have a park, a public park, and we organised a walk around of the park, again, to inform some of the development work they were doing anyway in the park, thinking about pathways, thinking about planting, which has gone on to much bigger things. The Parks and Gardens team are planning a dementia-friendly garden within the public park, which has been an interesting thing to research, because I thought there would be dementia-friendly gardens out there that we could go and visit and have a look at. And no matter how hard I try, I can't find any. So we're bringing together little tidbits that we can find from care settings, for other sort of concepts in horticultural therapy, and our Parks and Gardens staff are bringing that all together, and you may see us at Chelsea next year. That's definitely their aspiration. I joke about it, but they definitely want to get to Chelsea with their dementia-friendly garden, which is great. So in terms of my experiences of involving people with dementia, my sort of advice to you was, be brave. I was quite scared about it. You know, I've lived with dementia, with my dad having it, but still it was quite an intimidating, scary thing to do for me. I'd suggest identifying any opportunities to do it. You know, some of the things that I've been working on, you know, would it really be helpful to involve people with dementia in that? bit of a, you know, it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of effort. But yes, any little bit actually has the potential to make a massive difference to how we do our work, but certainly to make a big difference to the lives of the people who are working with us. Start small, build everybody's confidence, the confidence of the people that you're working with, as well as your own confidence. Take time to build relationships. You know, I drink loads of tea and I eat far more biscuits than I probably should, but it's all part of the process, and it's an invaluable part of the process, actually. As I said, food and small talk help. And paying attention to detail, for me, I've found that as I'm working with more people with dementia, I'm not a caseworker. You know, I'm working very informally with people. So I've had to start taking notes about who supports which football team and, you know, who used to cycle and who cycles now, all those sorts of things, to restart those conversations each time we meet. And then finally, I'll just close with a quote from somebody I do quite a lot of work with, Peter Jones. Is an architect who lives in York, and he said that it's important that people with dementia are involved in projects like this one in York. No one can understand what it's like to have dementia unless they've got it. I would never have believed how complicated life could be.
Thank you, Catherine. You know, one thing that struck me really from your talk, and I think it's a very strong piece, is when we talk about making organisations dementia friendly, it seems a huge undertaking. But I think the point that you made, it's what can we do with the resources that we currently have? And I actually think probably signage is one of our biggest, easiest things to undertake. And I'm sure people are nodding their head. They've obviously undertaken that within their own organisation. So I think that's a good place for us to consider starting. So thank you, Catherine.